All right, sorry, what were you saying?
Play Skullgirls, play them fighting herds. Literally 1.0 is out right now. They're about to announce a brand new character. Shanti's going to be inside of the game. I have good authority that she is not going to be a grappler. This game is imperative. It did not get any game awards, but it's very important that you play them fighting herds. Play it!
Welcome to another episode of Best of Five, the Elon is Delirious edition. So let's everybody hang in there with us. My name is Elon, and I'm the delirious one. And I'm joined, as always, by my fellow cohorts, Mr. Steve Ace King Offsuit Jurek, the main squeeze, and the lovely as ever, the Purple Sharpie.
Great to be here, Elon. First time, long time friend of the show. Excited. It's my very first podcast I've ever done in my life. Sponsored by Astro Gaming. Thank you, Astro Gaming.
Well, we are not sponsored by Astro Gaming. Sharpie is,
no, though. We're not. I am. Thank you for the money and free merch, Astro Gaming. Appreciate y'all.
So if you want to go do some Astro Gaming stuff, go to Sharpie's channel, which is twitch.tv/thepurplesharpie.
Purple Sharpie as always, baby. Yes.
Look at me learning how to read things. Tonight on the show, we've got lots to talk about. Marvel Lives. While Melee dies. It's awful. Oof. It's a big oof for sure. Bud Light released the BL6, a console that last I checked was going for around $800,000, and it's got Tekken in it. Big shout outs to Die by Sword for gifting Astro Gaming a sub, along with avoiding the puddle before the show started. So thank you, Die by Sword. So Marvel Lives, Melee dies. Bud Light has a new console. Street Fighter 6 got leaked. It was in those docs. We saw it coming. It was in those hacked documents from Capcom, so we're going to have to watch out for that. And a bunch of other shenanigans like a Marbula 1. We went the double or nothing on the pizza bet. Who won it? We're going to find out a little bit later. But first, before we do that, Steve?
Yes?
Will you give me 30 seconds so I can import all of the graphics for the recap that I forgot to do until
just
now?
Yeah. So this has been a bit of a rough week. I am in the middle of transitioning into working overnights. Oof. So I have been up for 15 hours at this point. If I just start talking nonsense, well, more nonsense than usual.
No such thing.
I apologize in advance.
There is no such thing as nonsense when it comes to Best of Five, because everything we say makes sense, even if it doesn't at this moment. Just like this sentence I'm saying right now. But
imagine a podcast that doesn't make sense.
that doesn't make any sense.
That's like every podcast. Okay. enough dilly-dallying, enough faffing about, enough yippity-yapping. Steve, will you do us the honors of hitting us with that big old recap?
Did you just say dilly-dallying?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Okay, it's that kind of week. Street Fighter. Let's kick it off with Street Fighter. The Street Fighter leak continued on both sides of the Pacific. On the U.S., you had another, more of the same. The top two teams both picked up wins. All in, 3-1 winners over UIU, who remain winless. Alpha 3, for the second straight week, falls down 2-0. And for the second straight week, Punk bails them out. Reverse OCV again against Dynamite to take the 3-2 set and move to 4-1 on the season. The first half of the season ends not this week, but next week, because they are taking a week off for the Thanksgiving holiday. But you've got Nasser versus Psycho Shinobi to round out the first go-around of matches, and then we kicked off the second half with a bang, 1-2, All In versus Alpha 3. Can All In maintain their perfect record?
Ooh. That's gonna be a good one. You want to bet a pizza on it?
You just want to bet a pizza on anything.
I do want to bet a pizza on everything.
He's really trying to get that pizza back, folks.
Which side you going with? You going with All In or Alpha 3?
That's tough. Why'd you ask me?
You know... Honestly, if I had to guess, if I were a betting woman, which I am, I would probably bet on Die by Sword, who has gifted a tier one sub to Finitude. Thank you so much. 134 gifted subs as of late. That's a lot of moolah. That's a lot of money. Thank you as always for supporting the cast.
The patron saint of best of five. Yep. Shit. All right, hold on. Let me look at this real quick. So all in is IDOM, SKZ, and 801 Strider. All right, I'll go all in.
All right, that was going to be my pick, but I'll take Alpha 3 because you want to bet a pizza so bad.
Okay. All right, all in on all in. So pizza bet, all in, pizza bet, Alpha 3. What's next on the recap?
More Street Fighter League. We've got the Japanese side of things. They had their penultimate week this past week with Round 9. And if you're Tokido, this was an amazing week for you. Your squad got a 3-1 win over Gaia, and then the two squads chasing you, Gold and Aurora, both ended up losing to teams at the bottom of the table, Scarlet and Splash, respectively. So now Flame, 4 points clear in that number one spot. If they get 1 point next week in the finale, they are number one. They lock up number one. Gold, if they drop any game, Gold is playing Flame, so they can shut it out right there. As long as they don't lose 4-0, they are in good shape. Aurora, pretty solidly in that number three spot.
Also, before we move on, question from Die by Sword. Is Tokido still playing Urine?
I don't remember who was banned off the top of my head for this one. I believe he was.
Okay. Tokido was indeed playing Urine. Good stuff. All right. Where are we going to next?
We're going to round out Street Fighter League with the final Capcom Pro Tour event of the season.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
It was US West number 2. The finale, who was going to get that final spot in Capcom Cup? And it was almost the guy I've been saying has been on the cusp for a while, Alex Myers. It seemed like he was getting closer and closer in those premier events for a while. I thought he was going to do it, and I thought this was going to be the week. He came so close. He fought it back through. He reset the bracket in Grand Finals against Samurai, but it is Samurai who ends up with the win, punching his ticket to Capcom Cup. Alex Myers and Snake Eyes rounding out the top three.
Grappler mains. Oh, no.
Snake Eyes was playing Kage the entire time, though.
He's still a grappler main in my heart. Ever since Evo, when he came through and just discussing green-handed to clinch that out, he has been a grappler in my book. You can't erase something that disgusting and dark. You can't do it.
Right, very true. Although it was funny, I was watching this bit of the tournament, and Ultra David said that this is the first time that a Kage main has reached top three in a Capcom Pro Tour tournament. So big ups to Snake for doing that. But he, like you said, he's still a grappler, so we can't give him too many ups. So we'll just give him a little.
Thank you.
I'll give him a little bit.
Respect to everyone except for those who played disgusting, filthy, godless grapplers.
Let's look at some
other
stuff.
What's next, Steve?
Well, so where's Punk? Where did Punk go?
Punk finished ninth. If you were searching for Punk in the standings, you probably didn't find him because he entered under Pionk. Due to a typo on one of the graphics he decided to rock with. He started from the loser's bracket, remember, because of the social media blow-up he had after NA West number one. So he had a long road. He fell one game short of top eight, got knocked out by Prototype. So it is... Punk still has a chance to go through to Capcom Cup because he has entered his name in the list of players who are eligible for the fan vote. Remember, all the players who didn't win a qualifying tournament, who were in Capcom Cup 2019, can be in the fan vote, which just opened yesterday. Mm-hmm. And whoever gets the most votes on Twitter will be the last person to be in the Capcom Cup field.
And remember, Steve, we have a pizza writing on this.
We do. And I forgot if...
I think I picked Tokido.
You know what? Let's look at who's in, because I actually took a look at the standings before, just a little bit before we went online. Okay. But let's see who's in the field now. We have the almost complete field. You've got Samurai joining Smug, Mandrake, and Nephew from North America, Kaba, MenRD, Piccolo, and Jalehe. On this side of the planet, on the other hemisphere, you've got Takamura, Infectious, Phenom, Angry Bird, SKC, Sien, Daigo, Gachikun, Jewa, and Rumors. Can't forget about Idom, the defending champion, and then that fan vote, which shouldn't be surprising if we really, really thought about it. We didn't really think about it.
Yep.
So fan voting runs through December 18th, so we've got a lot of time for this to change. But as of right now, the leader is not Punk. It is not Tokido. It's not Luffy. It is Zenith by a significant margin. Over 5,200 votes as of an hour before showtime. Nearly over 1,100 again over Tokido right now.
Dang, that's a lot of votes.
That is a ton.
Now, here's the sitch, though. Remember the last time Capcom had a community vote?
Yes.
Specifically for Street Fighter League?
Yes.
And there was somebody who was not expected to be in the top of that community vote. That was. And Capcom just decided, it. Let's bring Arturo. So is this going to be Arturo's comeback?
So, continue.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
I was going to say, I feel like that was not only a blow up in the sense it's like, hey, how are we going to have the entire community vote and then just decide anyways? Because it's like they have no obligation to honor the votes. They just said that's the way it's going to be, but they can ultimately do whatever they want, mm-hmm. right? So I think one, the big blow up there was like Art has done a lot for the community, specifically for Street Fighter in general. So I understand why that happened. Mm-hmm. It's disappointing though, because there were so many other people that I would have rather see go through, right? Wasn't Sherry campaigning?
Yeah, Sherry was campaigning. But person that came up on fourth to be on the show, I think this was for Street Fighter League, was Emezi.
Yeah.
And instead of Emezi going up, it was Art. And here's the thing. I'm not blaming Art.
Mm.
Like, if I was in Art's shoes, I would have been like, yeah, fucking get me on a plane over there, right?
Yeah.
That's a really good opportunity. I'm happy he was there. He got to show off some stuff. He got to show off his stuff. But it was just such a weird thing to happen, especially mm-hmm. because of all the drama with the votes ending early and all that other stuff. So let's hope...
There's a lot of drama about that, yeah.
Let's hope that Capcom is a little bit more prepared for the community vote this time around.
And can we just hope in general for no voting drama in general?
That's not going to happen. Because
there's a limit as to how much we can take, and I think we're at that point. We are right at the cusp of too much voting drama. So let's hope it's smooth. Whoever wins... Just take the L. Whoever doesn't win, take the L.
Whoever wins, that's takes all the L?
No, whoever doesn't win, take the L. I'm telling you, just accept the L into your life. Don't make a big deal about it. Don't take it to court. Just accept it and move on. And everyone's all good. We're cool.
I'm just saying they have a right to a recount, Steve.
They
have a right to a recount if it's close. You know, if there's a couple of thousand or even just say a 0.% of a 0.% of a vote difference between first and eighth, you know, we can recount because the votes weren't all in.
Only in certain counties.
But I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm not saying yet you should not be entitled to count every vote. I'm just saying.
Stop the count. I get it. Yeah.
No, stop the count in certain places. Keep the count in other places.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. We've got a huge-ass recap. We have driven this joke into the ground.
Anyway, point is, let's take a look at these the fan vote standings once again. So Zenith up at the top from Brazil. Was Zenith here last year for Capcom Cup?
Yeah. He was the lone Brazilian to make it in.
Did he replace somebody who didn't come or something? Or did he make it in for realsies?
He made it in for realsies.
Okay. I thought I remembered some drama, but I guess maybe I'm confusing it with some other stuff. But anyway, big ups to Brazil. Showing it up. Blowing it up.
And like I said, if we really thought about it, we should have known. We should have seen this coming.
For sure. All right. I think that wraps up.
I don't know what's going on anymore.
That wraps up the CPT. Oh, don't apologize. That was hilarious. That wraps up CPT, right? What's next, Steve?
We've got Tekken to talk about because the US West Challenge took place this past weekend. And it was all about the man who represents South Korea / U.S. / Canada in different parts of his life. Ben Chiang getting the win over El Negro in the grand final to get some money. And then he doubled up. He 3-0'd. He got the 3-0 in the boss fight.
Ooh.
To get more paper. So. And then on the Sunday exhibitions, the main event was Run It Black versus Rip. It went down to the wire, but it was 7-6 for Run. So making up for that Lucky Chloe at Combo Breaker.
Everybody needs to make up for Lucky Chloe.
I still think about that sometimes. Just him learning he had Lucky Chloe on his team. In that draft, and then Blackbeard's laugh is just legendary.
Oh yeah! Look, man, I can't wait for Combo Breaker to come back. Anyway, just wanted to say that on camera. Thanks, Rick.
Right. We appreciate you, Rick. Fingers we appreciate crossed. You, all of Combo Breaker staff. Hope y'all can come back in 2021 even stronger than before.
Yeah, I saved up my ticket because my ticket got canceled. So they're like, "Oh, do you want your refund or do you want to just?" Let it ride. And I said, let it ride. So we'll see.
Yo, I'm coming back.
Well, here's hoping. Well, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, if we do run on 2021, Combo Breaker, if we all make it there, I want to do a show from there.
Oh, we're doing it.
That'd be really nice.
We're doing a show from
there. Steve, I actually think the very first time I ever met you was at Combo Breaker, right? Like in person?
Yeah.
And you're like, I have no clue who you are. And I was like, this is awkward for just me.
That was before. Here's the thing.
It was before I was famous, Chat. He had no reason to understand who I was. So it's cool.
I am an awkward man. I am just pretty good at hiding it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I slip up. Sometimes I fail. What just happened, Elon?
Nothing. Keep going.
All right. Smash Summit. Let's go to the recap. This recap is big. Smash Summit actually went online. Speaking of events going online, they ran tournaments for both the U.S. and Europe. On the U.S. side of things, it was Zane who held off Mango in the grand final to get the win there.
Let's go, Zane. Got Marth, baby, to clean. Oh, you love to see it. Oh, the tippers, honey. Let's go. Sorry.
It's okay. We'll let you have that pop off. And then on the EU side of things, Leffen, your champion in the European tournament, holding off Professor Pro in the grand final there.
Captain Faceroll, I think, is my favorite name.
There are some good ones this week. Captain Faceroll, if you pull up Tekken.
Yeah, let's look at back Tekken.
Tied for ninth, you got What's It To Ya.
Ooh, What's It To Ya, nice.
There's some quality names this week.
Was there anything on the CPT that we need to look at? Yanoob? Look at that. Yanoob on 9th.
Yeah.
Okay, Nova Spec, 10 for 13th. Good shit. I think Nova Spec. If I'm thinking of the correct Nova Spec, he's a guy from Texas guy. Anyway, back to Smash.
Actually, there are some other good names that were in here that will pop up on this recap. Names like I Heart Justice and Marlin Pie and Ray Ray. Because we've got a fucking Marvel 3 graphic.
Marvel
lives. We've got a Marvel 3 tournament.
Marvel lives.
Marvel lives.
With Marvel.
This was the tournament that was announced literally as we went on air last week, run by Maximilian. When we talked about it, we knew it was Twitch Rivals, so it was. We assumed it was, or at least I did. I assumed it was going to be like Twitch celebrities, but no, this was bona fide to, Marvel players. So you had some of the guys who were driving the game even after MVC3 fell out of the spotlight. Guys like Dual Kevin, guys like Ray Ray, Full Schedule, I Heart Justice, Cloud coming back, Killer Kai coming back for this. Dude.
And Ryan LV was the last Evo champ, right?
Yeah. Ryan was doing some serious business at the end of that game. Or end of the game. There is no end of the game. Marvel lives.
Marvel lives.
Marvel, baby.
Important to note, and we'll talk more about this later, but important to note that Capcom did throw a lot of social media love their way this weekend. Mm. And this tournament was run on Parsec. So this is one of those things where people found out that if you get an Amazon Web Services virtual computer and both of you connect, you have a better and more stable connection than if you try playing the game online.
Can we just shout out real quick? Can we shout out Capcom for supporting a game that came out eons ago, for loving the community, and for allowing the community to showcase their passion and love on an official website like Twitch, specifically with Twitch support curated by none other than Rick the Haru Thatcher. Super appreciate y'all, Capcom. Y'all awesome. Y'all the real MVPs. Great job. Great job hosting it, Max, and congratulations to everyone inside of the tournament and commentating the tournament, of course.
Yep. No, it was a sight to see. Who would have thunk? Marvel 2020. And we'll talk about the direct contrast to this in a little bit. But for now,
but Steve. First, we're going to go over these standings, aren't we?
Yes.
We Steve, are.
Give us the recap. How'd it go?
Because it was the last Evo champ, Ryan LV, who pulled it off over the man who was... It's come so close so many times, Ray Ray. You see Mundek and Milty. Oh, my goodness. My mind is gone. Milky Nurko rounding out the top four. But, I mean, you got the bona fides there. Flocker, Full Schedule, Marlin Pie, Punisher, Marvello. And some people had a little something extra to cheer about because tied for 25th in the 32-man bracket was Flux. Therefore, you have the right to say, not that I would say it, but you have the right to say Flux sucks.
Aww.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you're one of those people who wants to say that, you can. But me, Steve Jurek, not saying that.
I appreciate you, Cole. I appreciate you, Cole. You're a very strong player, and you did very well in the tournament. You should be proud of yourself.
He's a fantastic player.
Dude,
he's
this was
okay, I'm just saying but I'm just saying it because even though you didn't say the thing that you said, I just feel the need to say that.
Look,
that's a friend, and I'm proud of him.
Look, this is another one of those situations where it's top 32 of the best Marvel 3 players. So
somebody's got to go 0-2. And when you got 32 killers and eight of them got to go.
Now, in addition to all this, man, look at all these names. I'm getting like nostalgia flashbacks here, like Cloud 805, I Heart Justice, Marlin Pie, Killer Kai, Marvello. So we reached out to a couple people. Sharpie, you got a couple of words from some players, right?
I do, as a matter of fact, if I could please have the spotlight, I'd love to go over it. So I actually reached out to quite a few people. I reached out to Maximilian, I reached out to IFC Yipes, I reached out to iHeartJustice, and I reached out to Cloud805. I unfortunately was unable to reach Maximilian, I was unable to reach Yipes, but I did get statements from both iHeartJustice as well as Cloud08. We also have some clips that they requested we play on the stream to showcase themselves. For those of you who don't know, iHeartJustice as well as Cloud805 are both very, very strong contenders inside of the Marvel community. They are fantastic content creators, and I actually want to shout out specifically Cloud805, who is one of the largest fighting game creators in general. Like, the entirety of the entirety of the fighting game community has a huge YouTube presence. He has a huge Twitch presence. He's just doing a lot of big things right now, and that's amazing. So I do want to shout them both out for being that. But I asked them a couple of questions. We're going to start with, obviously, iHeartJustice, who I specifically asked regarding how he felt regarding the Twitch Rivals event in general. And he stated that Twitch Rivals, to those who may not have unfortunately had the opportunity or experienced the opportunity themselves, is wholly professional and very caring. They checked up on us and made sure we were okay with everything. It was an online tournament. It was a super unique experience. The Twitch Rivals hasn't really done fighting games at all, per my knowledge. And the cool thing is that they could easily move from one match to another so that everybody got screen time, which was fantastic. Max is a pillar in our community. He's just the GOAT. I was a fan of the production. And so I also did ask, Cloud, specifically how he felt about it, and he said it was more esports oriented than what I'm used to, but I enjoyed it. I'm glad they gave Marvel a chance. He said the way they prepared everything was really solid. I don't have complaints on the whole thing. And he said that the future of Marvel will just depend on how the community rides the waves that they were given. I did ask both of them how they felt that the event could personally improve, and they had a little bit of feedback there. Once again, I really want to stress that a majority of all the quotes they gave were positive. This was me specifically asking for any feedback that they felt could be done better. And iHeartJustice stated what he would like is that although it was tons of production, it would have been nicer if players had had an opportunity to create their own skits and add to their narratives. I think the next step is incorporating more personality into the production, which may require more organization and more time. We just fiend for our own game. And what he was stating here was that during the broadcast, Maximilian had actually prepared some pre-made skits and sketches to showcase throughout the stream. And he and his team have prepared that himself. Now, iHeartJustice is a content creator, and he's friends with many other Marvel creators, specifically Lothario, and even other players similar to, like, I want to say Gary, otherwise known as Zerg, and a couple of other people, as well as Cloud08. So I think this was just basically saying, hey, if we could also have had that chance to maybe create something from our repertoire regarding Marvel, we would have loved to have that opportunity as well. I asked Cloud, and Cloud just said that the opportunity to perform was fantastic. The only thing I can really say is that if there's ever a second one, they should have one wave of matches start at least 5 minutes earlier. So when one match concludes and they happen to another match, it's not going to end right after hopping into it. And once again, I think this is just feedback that happened exclusively because they had so many matches going on at the same time. On an offline event, it's a lot easier to schedule things like that. But on an online event, sometimes you have a little bit of lap. In general, both players were very happy with how the event went. They would 100% go into another one. And I got the vibes that Marvel is definitely not dead. Marvel is here to stay. And Marvel lives, baby. Marvel lives.
Whoops. I did the wrong one. Oh, no. Where'd it go? Is it this one? Yeah. My old stream deck broke.
I want to thank, obviously, everyone that worked with me for those quotes. I want to thank Cloud805 and iHeartJustice for both taking time out of their very busy days to reach out to me for comment. Super appreciate it. And I'm hoping to get even more quotes from people regarding events in the future.
Yep, I agree. Quotes from people regarding events in the future is great. And I didn't just parrot that off. I mean that. Now, while this was amazing, I do want to thank specifically Twitch and Maximilian and everybody organizing this for being good friends of the show and putting the shit before Tuesday. Thank you. The biggest round of applause to you for making this on a Monday so we can talk about it. Thank you very much, Maximilian. Thank you, Twitch. Thank you, everybody involved. That's the greatest reward we could want, so we appreciate it. And it was a little bit weird having like such a big tournament on a Monday, but it was super fun to watch, so I had a good time. I had a good time, and I think everybody else did too.
Yeah.
With all this said, Steve, This tournament is unfortunately behind us. So what do we have to look forward to?
Well, we can actually look at some other events that happened this weekend. Because you had...
Did we?
Yeah, not yet. Yeah, I forgot to number them. But the Dragon Ball FighterZ stuff. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Die by Sword gifting a sub to Maximilian, dude. Thank you, Die by Sword. You got us.
135 subs, which really quick, I just want to say that is a lot of subs. This person has successfully provided $675 to our stream, to which we are immensely, immensely grateful. Thank you. And I actually forgot to divide that by two. So thank you so much for dropping $337.50 in support of our stream. Super appreciate that.
Yep. And while the monetary value is great, the value of your time and you liking the show is priceless. So thanks. Yeah. I can't believe I actually said that correctly. Way to go, me.
Castellarius Elon. Let's go. All
right. That's a lot of pizza. That is a lot of pizza. And I wish I could pay half of my pizza bets off of that account, but I cannot. That's called.
Don't we have some more information to go over, Steve?
We do.
let's talk about DBZ.
DBFZ, AFC. National Championships. Week 6 of 7 took place this past weekend. So there was a whole lot of movement in the standings and a whole lot of things getting settled, even though there's more to play for next week.
Where are we going first?
Let's go France. Let's just go alphabetical.
Let's go France.
So, last week, no one had clinched a spot in the playoffs. This week, we know all four players who are going to make that top four playoff. Wawa locked up his spot with a 5-1 win over Gia. Kaiden and Yasha both got wins over Kane and Kasuga, respectively, to punch their ticket. And Kane's loss, along with Noka's loss, actually locked up the spot for Gila. So now it's a matter of seeding. Wawa and Kaiden face off in week 7. The winner of that one will obviously be number 1. Loser of that could be number 2 or number 3, depending on how game difference goes. And actually, one correction from last week, game difference is actually the first tiebreaker, not head-to-head. Mm. So, Yasha and Gila will face off. Loser of that will be 4. Winner of that could be 3 or 2, depending on the game differential there.
So, if Yasha wins by a game differential of 3 or more, and Kaiden gets completely washed and doesn't win anything, Yasha gets the second seed, right?
Well, if Gila wins 5-0 and Kaiden loses 5-0, then Gila goes to +2, and Gila can't move up above third. Yasha can, though.
Oh, did I say Gila? I meant Yasha.
Yeah, so if Yasha wins 5-0 and, say, Wawa loses 5-0, then Wawa drops to +12, Yasha climbs to +14, Yasha would get the 2 spot. Mm. So,
okay. I understand.
Let's head to Japan, because you've got some... You had one of the matches of the week there between Kazunoko and Goichi. It seems like those three, Kazunoko, Goichi, and Fenrich, are sort of the top tier in Japan, with all due respect to everyone else. This one went down to the wire, but... Goichi, I messed that up in the results stream, but Goichi got the 5-4 win over Kazunoko. Goichi wins. Fenrich, 5-2 winner over Mato to remain undefeated. Though they pretty much got the top two on lock. Whoever they play in week 7, winner of that is your number 1 seed. Kazunoko, a little bit of work to do to lock up number 3. Banbaban will be in that opening round match as well. So it'll be Banbaban versus Kazunoko, and then the winner of that faces the loser of Goichi Fenrich, and then the winner of that faces the winner of Goichi Fenrich in the playoffs. Mm. So big, big match there.
Big match. That's exciting.
Let's in Spain, Gropius remained undefeated with a 5-0 win over Tigres. The other big result, Jenna's got 5-4 over Shanks, which means Shanks has still locked up a playoff spot, but is looking at the possibility of playing in that opening match and having to win 3 games to get that get into the playoffs. Tigres and Kalbu both tied going into the final weekend. Tigres in the driver's seat. They're both playing players with stuff to play for in terms of seeding. But Tigres, if Tigres wins, he's locked in. He would have to lose big and have Kalbu win. Kalbu would have to win and Tigres lose in mm-hmm. order to swap that for the final spot. Mm-hmm. It's close. On the east side of the U.S., DeKill Sage holding off Lord Knight 5-1. Hook Gang got a big 5-1 win over Nokami. And Nitro Bros, 5-2 win over Mamba Lamba. Those three have punched their ticket. Double LL and Lord Knight, it's very close. Double LL is he's pretty much in. The only way he gets locked out is if he wins his final match, or he loses his final game 5-0, and Lord Knight wins his final game 5-0. That's the only way. That is the only way Lord Knight can punch that final ticket. Otherwise, it is going to be double LL. The big game coming up this week is DeKill Sage versus Hook. Obviously, winner of that one will be the number one seed. Nitro Bros possibly could move up to number two depending on what happens in that one.
Can I say something really quick?
Yeah.
So I just want to say, first of all, congratulations to Mamba Lamba as well as Nokami, both very talented people. And I genuinely believe one of the only reasons that Nokami didn't actually place that high is because he has been focusing on his content creation. He's doing incredibly well on YouTube. He's doing incredibly well on Twitch. He's actually one of the number one Dragon Ball streamers on Twitch and like in the top 5 of all Dragon Ball streamers on YouTube. In the fighting game community. So that's a big deal, and I know that he's been focusing on that, so shout outs to him. Mamba Lamba, I know Mamba Lamba wasn't necessarily able to compete when offline events were happening. He's been almost exclusively playing online, so shout outs to him immensely. And I also want to give huge shout outs to my brother Double L, who has been working and practicing very, very hard during this quarantine to get his name out there. Specifically, I am hoping that a team is able to pay attention to the grind that this young buck has been showcasing this entire time and manages to offer him a deal that is both respectable and appreciative of his efforts in general, because he's been killing it online, he has been killing it on social media, and I have nothing but high hopes for where he has to go from that. As always, I have to be a part of Team Sage here, and I have to continue to root for DeKill Sage, one of the best, literal best players of our generation in every single game that he touches. I will always be a Sage fangirl, and that's because this man brings not only amazing game knowledge to every single game and every single community that he touches, but he brings an amazing presence and general positive vibe whenever he communicates and talks to anybody inside of the fighting game community. So, like, I really want him to win. And I just wanted to shout that out because I know everyone sees these numbers, they see the recap, and they're like, player is this, player is that. But, like, these people are people. These people are working very hard at bettering themselves. It's things that we haven't necessarily always seen inside of the scene. We haven't always seen good players that are doing good things in the community. All the players I just mentioned are all working very, very hard at uplifting the Dragon Ball fighters community in a positive manner, and I just wanted to shout that out because I'm proud of all of them, every single one of them.
There you go. Congratulations everybody on being humans.
Thank you.
No, but seriously, that was very heartfelt. Thank you for that addition, and that is very important, because usually when we see recaps and stuff, or when we see tournaments, we just see the text behind mm-hmm. the human, right? So it's very easy to disassociate. So I very much appreciate you
saying that. They're all working very, very, very hard, and it's nice to see. It's very nice to see.
Yeah. No, it's important to remember that every single name on this list has a equally complicated life just like we do. It's not just the name on a screen. So yeah. That's a very good thing
to
keep in mind.
I'm sorry, please continue your recap. Thank you so much for letting me speak.
It's all good. We've got one more space place to go, and that's the U.S. West.
Space
place. You had a bit of a shocker here. Jonathan Tenney, really on that grind. 5-0 winner over Cloud 805, handing him the first loss of the campaign. That combined with Reynald actually picking up two wins, his match over Subatomic Sabres, which was also a 5-0, mm-hmm. and then the 5-1 over Scientific, who that was the Chris G makeup match. Means that Reynald now enters the final week atop the standings. Both he and Cloud are locked in to playoff places, but seeding is still up on the line. Both players still have a chance to lock up the top seed. Both players could. I believe Reynald is locked into top two, but Cloud could fall to third. Jonathan. Subatomic and Apology Man all fighting for those final two spots. Apology Man has the biggest road to climb because he's playing the number one overall seed, Reynald, and he needs a win.
Wasn't Reynald like last week?
No, he was in the middle at 3-1. Okay. He was like third.
I thought he was like third or fourth. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cloud was in first place. I remember that. Mm-hmm. And I think Supernoon was like in sixth or fifth. So
yeah, Supernoon hasn't been able to get it all together, but yeah, lot to play for in the U.S. West.
Yeah, and this is going to be close, like between Jonathan Tenney, Subatomic Sabres, and Apology Man. It's a razor's edge between who makes it and who doesn't. That's correct. That's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy.
All right, so now we can take a look at what's taking place this weekend. Oh yeah, Marbula won.
Okay, let's talk about Marbula 1.
You want a pizza. You want a pizza.
Oh, even. The top tier. Pick a top tier, they said. Crazy cat's eyes. Read it out for me, Steve.
Here's what's taking place this weekend.
Don't want to read this? Hold up. Let's take a look at the top three, the podium. All right, we have the Savage Speeders with Speedy taking 26 points home. We have Starry from Team Galactic, who's just less than a second behind, taking 20 points home. And then my boy, Yellow Eye from the Crazy Cat's Eyes, 1.7 seconds. And if we look at the bottom left there, fastest slap for one bonus point. Let's go, Yellow Eye. And then if we jump all the way down to 11th, we have Razzy from the Raspberry Racers. At a full 7 seconds behind the leader.
You know what's crazy about this is Elon is neglecting to tell our audience that he is currently 1-2 for marble races. But I just think it's pertinent to the current standings. That's all.
Pizza bet was double or nothing. And we're back to nothing.
Okay.
We broke even.
I really wanted pizza tonight. But well, you know what? That's okay.
We put in the bet for next week?
We already got a bet.
What do we have coming up next week, Steve?
Right, let's talk about what's coming up next week.
Nobody wants to bet the pizza, but everybody wants the pizza.
So, Street Fighter League, only the Japanese League in action coming up. The U.S. League going dark for the Thanksgiving holiday. So you've got Japan on Friday. Dragon Ball FighterZ, the final weekend of regular season action taking place on the Dragon Ball FighterZ channel. Soul Calibur back in action with the third of their three Soul Calibur online challenges. This one is going to be for the Western EU. And then if you want to watch some marble racing, it's this weekend, round four. I'll stick with Raspberry Racers.
I'll stick with the Crazy Cat's Eyes, baby. Aquamarine. All right.
So we got two pizza bets going.
Two pizzas on the line. Also, by the way, I just want to correct one thing. Sharpie, I'm 1-1 for the pizza bets, not 1-2. as when it comes to Marbula Racing.
My apologies. Yes. My sincerest apologies. Everyone, he still lost, though.
I lost the first time, though. I won the second time. We're even, baby.
I'm going to win this next one, too. All right, actual correction. I accidentally put up the Smash Ultimate graphic for the Smash House or the Smash Summit results. Yes, it was actually Melee.
Oh, this is Melee. Okay.
Yeah, I assumed it was Melee when I saw Zane. Zane doesn't play Ultimate. I just assumed it was incorrectly put down as Ultimate because all of these players are Melee players.
Wait just a minute. Hold on.
My bad.
Hold on. So we have Smash Ultimate here. And then
no, this is Melee.
Oh, yeah, there's Smash Ultimate mistake there, and then wait a minute, where is it? And then who won between Kazunoko and Goichi?
It was Goichi. So I made two this week.
Oh my god, the travesty! You know I'm just kidding, Steve. Thank you for all your hard work.
We love you, Steve.
Everybody, clap it out for Steve.
This was the longest f***ing recap ever.
Yo, language. Come on.
This was the longest freaking recap ever.
Yeah.
We are a PG-13 stream. Are okay?
we? Yeah. I feel like I've said worse before. All right. So
if we curse too much, we lose. I actually checked requirements for being a podcast, and you actually have to put the expletive thing if you use certain types of words on podcasts.
Oh, okay.
I meant to talk to you all about it afterwards, but that's why I haven't been trying to stop cursing as much.
Well, instead
we've had that discussion now.
Yeah, thank you everybody for joining us for this discussion. Instead of saying any expletives, we will say the word expletive moving forward. So, enjoy that.
Or grappler, which is just as bad as any expletive.
You know what else is
bad? That was funny. Can I get a laugh? Can I get a rim
shot?
I don't have it set up.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Now, speaking of bad, we talked a little bit about how good the Marvel tournament was and how amazing the support from Capcom, even if it was only social media support, and I'm assuming like allowing the rights for the game to be played on Twitch Rivals. Mm-hmm. The bad side of this is in direct contrast is we got a bit of news out of the people running Big House online, and it was that Nintendo has served them a cease and desist for the SlippyNet code for Melee and for the entire
Can we go
tournament.
Ahead and get a spotlight on you for that, this one, Elon, if you want to take point?
Well, that was it.
This is why I wanted to interrupt you at the start of all of that, because you don't ever be spotlighting yourself.
I don't, especially today. But we got that news, those news over Twitter, and it's been a big old mess. It has been a big old mess. Nintendo, we have the statement here from Nintendo. A couple of quotes. Steve, since you're more literate than I am, will you please read this out for us?
Sure. This was a quote given to Venn's Patrick Shanley when they discussed this after the cease and desist was made public. The Nintendo statement reads, quote, "Nintendo appreciates the love and dedication the fighting game community has for the Super Smash Bros. Series. We have partnered with numerous Super Smash Bros. Tournaments in the past and have hosted our own online and offline tournaments for the game, and we plan to continue that support in the future. Unfortunately, the upcoming Big House tournament announced plans to host an online tournament for Super Smash Bros. Melee that requires use of illegally copied versions of the game in conjunction with a mod called Slippy during their online event. Nintendo therefore contacted the tournament organizers to ask them to stop. They refused, leaving Nintendo no choice but to step in to protect its intellectual property and brands. Nintendo cannot condone or allow piracy of its intellectual property," end quote. And yes, there was one typo in there, so I'm up to three now.
That's fine. I didn't notice it, so it doesn't exist.
KonMai did.
Well, KonMai, you're
cool,
a plans.
Though. You're cool.
You're a plans. You're cool. This is completely in contrast to what we just saw with Marvel, right? Because the Marvel tournament for this week was run on Parsec, so the Parsec machine was the only machine that had to have Marvel in it. So I guess can that be considered an illegally obtain copy? No, because they probably had to buy it on Steam or something. But there were no mods in the game. But go on. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I was gonna say technically there's no way to like showcase that it's legal, because the reality is when you're playing Marvel like that and everything, you could technically have torrented and like grabbed an illegal copy of the game to run it on PC. It's kind of weird to get to the legality when you get on PC. But like, obviously, most people have obviously bought Marvel that were competing side of the tournament multiple times. I should add multiple times.
And likewise, pretty much everyone who would be competing in the Big House would have legitimately bought a copy of Melee. Now, in general, there's some copyright law is fun, and I am not a copyright law master. There is someone in the community who will be talking about this, I'm sure, later on tonight. But in general, you have the right to make your own copy of to back up your own games. You know?
No, you don't. No, you don't. You literally don't. No.
Whoops.
It's not guaranteed. Actually, if you read literally the back of any single game, especially Nintendo games, which I did when I was 14 because I was a nerd and a dweeb, and I read all that stuff. But yeah, no, you definitely don't have the ability in any way, shape, or form to back up any of your data. That includes the memory card, that includes the actual game data itself, and that includes literally anything related to the actual hardware or software that runs on any of their consoles. You do not have that right. It's literally inside the terms and agreements that you basically have to scroll through and everything when you first start up the GameCube, when you first start up the DS, when you first open up the Nintendo 64. And it's actually one of those things that states by using this device, you agree to these terms. That's covered in just about every single console known to God, which is why like things like emulators aren't usually allowed, but they're not considered high priority enough by publishers and large scale vendors to really crack down on in any way, shape, or form. So I just wanted to correct you there, because I do know that for a fact.
I don't remember having to do EULA stuff for older systems, but maybe that's just because I never read
them. You probably didn't actually have to agree to it inside of certain older systems. Like actually inside of the booklet. Yep. It actually is inside of the booklet.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I figured.
And I read a lot when I was growing up. I read a lot, and that is something I will tell you for a fact.
Damn you, EULAs.
I will state that most publishers do not enforce it exclusively because the energy that's required to enforce it specifically for emulation, specifically for, what's the word? But like, you know, like mods and everything like that, it's not cost effective in any way, shape or form. So most people just let it go. It's free publicity in general, and they're not really making enough money to do it. Now, if there was some large scale way to determine when somebody was torrenting or stealing or modding something, and it actually did make enough money for, in this example, Big House, then yeah, they would very easily be able to shut that stuff down. Yeah, and not to take away at all, in any way, shape, or form from your point there, Steve, because I understand what you were saying. You were saying basically by purchasing it, you should own that right. We do not, as American citizens, own that with anything. Literally, that is also on Windows 7. It's on Windows 10. It's on Windows XP. It's on Apple devices. Anything that you purchase, you do not legally have the right to modify in any way, shape, or form the operating system, a lot of programs, stuff like that. So,
the other thing that I wanted to bring up was you talked about being in the crosshairs of these big companies where a lot of times it's not worth it. With online, the Smash Summit ran on Slippy this past weekend. That did not get shut down. Big House did get shut down. The big difference is that Nintendo has worked directly with Big House in the past. They have sponsored Big House. So even if you have people who are friendly within Nintendo who don't necessarily want to pursue it, it makes it a little harder to cover your eyes and ears and say, la, 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 I don't see you, when you've seen them in the past. So
now, is it possible that Big House might have tried to reach out to Nintendo for support and then got this other stuff? Because how would somebody from Nintendo immediately know? Well, I guess if they've worked with them in the past, then I guess they probably keep up with what they're doing on a regular basis, right? Yeah, because it does seem kind of weird that some tournaments got hit and some tournaments don't. But, you know, yeah, but having had the big Nintendo seal of approval in the past, I guess, makes them vulnerable to having the big seal of Nintendo disapproval in the future.
Can I go ahead and just say some things? Because I want to preface the conversation, obviously, by saying that I am currently the fighting game head organizer for all fighting game, traditional fighting game events that occur at Xanadu Games, which is located in Laurel, Maryland. Xanadu Games is a very large Super Smash Brothers venue that is headed by Gimmer as well as Apostle. And I am in charge of literally all the traditional fighting games that go on there. That means Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Killer Instinct, BlazBlue, all of those things I'm in charge of. I wanted to say that there was a quote unquote anonymous Twitter account that has since been confirmed as being an actual person inside of the community that wanted to go ahead and reach out regarding a little bit more information regarding why Nintendo decided to take the stance. I want to further elaborate that all the information I'm going to state here has not in any way, shape, or form been corroborated by Nintendo, but certain entities inside of the Smash community have corroborated this information and have signed off of it in general. The statement basically states that first of all, this person has requested to remain anonymous because of blowback that may occur to them. But basically what they were stating was that Nintendo has actively hurt multiple entities inside of the community, not because of anything regarding like anything they're trying to do or their IP, but specifically because it stops Nintendo from honoring agreements that they've made regarding esports in general with other entities. And they name quite a few events. They name Project M. They name working with Red Bull and HTC. They name working with Twitch. And they state that every single time they've been in talks with these people, they have come down on tournaments that have basically stated that they were going to be working in the same time period or in the same area as these events. And so basically what this anonymous poster is stating is that Nintendo is attempting to stop any competition from any high pressure dates that may occur inside of the future. It's a really big allegation. There's a lot of truth behind it, because if anyone has ever worked with vendors or entities, they know that that is something that entities worry about. Like, you know, hey, if we have a whole launch coming out for a brand new game in December, we want to make sure that the tournament that we have in December isn't close to any other big tournament so that people aren't burned out. There's a lot of stuff like that here. And basically what Nintendo with this post alleges is that Nintendo is basically trying to get larger entities to work with them, then make sure that the people inside the community have the power. So they want to go through basically all the avenues first before the community does. And the problem with that is that the community, because it was founded before Nintendo had a vested interest in becoming larger and creating a community scene, is much bigger than some of the things that Nintendo tries to do. So they just try to stop the scene from growing so that they can pick it up whenever they want, whenever they have a new game coming out, whenever they want free publicity, things like that. Which is a problem, unfortunately. And the reason why this person states that they were making this post is because basically Nintendo has left them no other choice. And the only way that this will stop is if people actively state that basically they won't support Nintendo anymore, because that's all Nintendo really cares about, unfortunately. There are a lot of allegations in there. I appreciate, obviously, Steve posting the quote in there. But what I will state is that there are quite a few other quotes from actual members inside the community. And the number one post I want to call out is actually Gimmer, who is actually one of the head tournament organizers at Xanadu. He's one of the owners. He runs it with his brother, Apostle. And he stated, the fact that I'm even afraid to say anything right now shows you how messed up this is. We've dedicated 10 plus years of our lives to this scene. They've made millions off of our blood, sweat, and tears. We've done it all while feeling like we have targets on our back. #FreeMelee. So it's interesting, because a lot of people have stated, specifically people like Hungrybox, as well as Leffen, as well as Chillin, have all stated that they are scared, essentially, to speak up because Nintendo is such a large entity and because it could mean that they are no longer allowed in any way, shape, or form to continue doing what they do. The post also alleges basically that one of the reasons why certain teams haven't picked up Smash players and certain players have been kicked off of teams is because of the uncertainty around Nintendo, which breeds the question, is Nintendo also specifically stopping teams from picking up Smash players by saying, if you pick up a Smash player, then we will never respect your organization or make it hard for your organization to do things like that. And that's concerning for a lot of people, not just for Melee players, but also honestly for Ultimate players. That type of deliberate stoppage of a community passion makes people feel less inclined to support a game that may come out later and anything like that. Now, I've stated this before, but Smash Ultimate is the highest sold fighting game literally of all time. There are a lot of people inside of the Ultimate community who have been actively considering leaving the community because of the way that Nintendo is treating Melee and because they no longer feel secure in playing the game competitively at all, which is not looking super great for Nintendo. I know that I personally, one of the reasons I actually stopped playing Smash was because the game that I was very interested in after I played Melee was Project Melee, otherwise known as PM. The developers actually stopped because they were in fear of getting a cease and desist order from Nintendo. And so they actually just preemptively stopped and they were like, we're just going to go pursue other things because it's not worth it if we do get a cease and desist order, because that could happen any day now. That type of fear is something that the general Smash community has had to live with for a very long time, and Melee is literally no exception. It's very, 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 very disheartening to see so many people that are very, very talented, creative, and just general positive people inside the community that have done nothing but help an entity that is in no way, shape, or form replicated that assistance to them. It really hurts to see them going through this. And all I can say is, I really hope that publishers understand that there are good people in the competitive scene that are genuinely offering support out of the goodness of their own hearts and only asking for it to continue because it's something that they genuinely enjoy. By stopping them from enjoying it, you're actively showing that you don't actually care about the consumer that you're actually creating merchandise for. And that's a dangerous slope to go down, y'all.
At the end of the day, though, I think we've brought this up before, but if the entire Smash FGC scene were to stop supporting Nintendo, would Nintendo give an expletive?
At the end of the day, no. What it would really take is the entirety of the competitive Super Smash Brothers scene actively creating some form of social media campaign that would basically boycott all of Nintendo-based purchases, which, to be very honest, the scale that they would have to do it on would be tremendous. But the other reality is that a lot of these competitive Smash players, Melee, Ultimate, Brawl, they all have some of the largest reaches inside of the fighting game community in general. These are the players that are seen internationally. These are people that can actively change the way that things happen. And what it would really take is those people that have already started to stand up and be like, Nintendo is in the wrong here, we can't do this anymore. It's taken them to stand up and go to news outlets and be like, this is happening to us, our job security is at risk, and we can in no way, shape, or form do anything else except let you know that it's happening and let other people know that they need to stop supporting Nintendo. That's really what it's taken, and it's interesting to see individuals take that stance with something that is so incredibly important to both them and the future of the competitive gaming community.
Yeah.
Nintendo's success here is a blessing and a curse. Mostly a curse in this sense. Obviously, if they had the desire to create some sort of circuit or really put their financial firepower behind competitive Smash, they absolutely could, and could do it in a way that a lot of other companies couldn't. But the other thing is, the competitive side of Smash is so comparatively small to their core business. I mean, you talked about how well Ultimate sold. It sold 21 million copies and still counting. 21 million. That's like, if you took every person who entered a Smash tournament in 2019, you would still not make a significant chunk in that $21 million. They found Nintendo has had this thing where they've kept the Smash community, the competitive side, at arm's length because they don't want that to be what people think of Smash. They don't want, you know, no items, Fox only, Final Destination to be what people think when they think Smash. They think, oh, this is something I can plug in and play with my friends, and if I want to get good, I can get good if I want, but I don't have to throw in a whole bunch of time, because they figured out that that's what makes them a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to add, I just wanted to add, in comparison to the 21 million that Smash has sold, how long has Ultimate been out? It's what, 2-3 years?
Ultimate has been out now for about 3 years.
3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Tekken 7, that's been out for way longer than that, just crossed the 6 million threshold earlier this year.
Yeah.
So just a comparison point there people who don't believe us.
That's a huge price point. What I was going to say is one of the reasons why Nintendo is so rigid, like you said, Steve, about the family-friendly aspect of it, is because a majority of people that buy games are parents purchasing games for their children. That's a very, mm-hmm. very large market. Something that we don't typically hear about inside of games is the fact that a lot of parents aren't comfortable buying their young children very bloody games in general. And so Nintendo marketing themselves as family-friendly vendors is something that families can count on, because they grew up with Mario, and they know Mario will always be this. And mm-hmm. so that type of brand recognition is invaluable, and that's something that none of these other brands have. When you look at Capcom entities, for example, I want to give the example of, like, just Ryu. That's an aggressive character. You know, Chun-Li, that's a sexually provocative character. You look at Ubisoft and Raymond, right? You look at Ubisoft and, like, is that Metal Gear Solid? No, that's, like, Tom Clancy. Stuff like that. Like, all of these games aren't as clean as Nintendo's image is. Pokemon mm-hmm. has sold some of the most games internationally of every single game in, like, the last 5 years. That's a huge demographic. That's something that even free-to-play games can't really touch. Mm-hmm. And so getting that amount of monetary essentially ROI is instrumental to Nintendo's success as both a brand and as a publisher. And so they really don't want to sacrifice that for anybody. And whoever they need to step on to accomplish that is huge. Yeah, they are super happy that teenagers are enjoying their game and these teenagers are turning to adults that still enjoy playing their game. But as soon as you're an adult, they don't care about you. They now want to market to your children. That's really what it is. They want to market to your children.
And here's the other thing, too, that I want to add. Mm-hmm. Going along the lines of Nintendo keeping its IP clean. Could you
spotlight yourself, Elon?
Fine. Which one is it? I think it's this one. I did it. Could you imagine if you're, like, somebody's grandparent and you're trying to look up, somebody says, oh, I want Smash Brothers. And the first thing you see is a person throws a crab at Hungry Box. Hmm. Or the first couple things you see is, look at all these people who spend 6 to 8 hours a day training in this video game to be good at a tournament, out of context. Or the first thing you see is those giant lists of sexual assault allegations that started coming out recently. Right, like, that's a big uh-oh if you're a parent or a grandparent who doesn't have the context of a competitive fighting game scene looking at this stuff for the first time. So mm-hmm. that, I think, is why Nintendo is so gung-ho about trying to keep its IP to the image that they want it, and not necessarily the image that we see it as.
Yeah.
A lot of people in chat right now. Oh, I'm sorry. Go on, Steve. Continue.
Well, you go ahead, because I think I've got...
No, I was going to say something in chat. You got it.
Huh. I was going to say, you know, the thing to keep in mind is pretty much every company has the right mm-hmm. to do this, legally mm-hmm. at least. It might not be as beneficial for them because, you know, for Bandai Namco, for Capcom, the competitive scene is a much larger, comparatively to the rest of their scene. It's a much larger chunk of their bread and butter. And they're also going to be the ones who are going to evangelize the game. They're going to be the ones who sell the game. Like how many copy, you know, people getting interested in Sonic Fox probably sold quite a few copies of Mortal Kombat. You know, it's just so big. The Smash scene is so big, but it's so powerful. Nintendo has the power, just like Capcom does. But it's just that in this scene, Nintendo is the only one that seems willing to do this. Because remember, there was, if you remember to the time, they almost banned Evo from streaming. Mm-hmm. So they just, yeah. I always think that's 2014 for some reason.
Same year as the Skullgirls not getting in. It was between Skullgirls and Melee. Smash got in 2013. Nintendo immediately tried to get a cease and desist order to stop Evo from running a tournament. And Community Outpour, because they were taking money away from breast cancer, basically forced them to do it the other way. Also important to note, by the way, that in a community leader, otherwise known as Ludwig, inside of the Super Smash Brothers community, had actually raised money for a charitable donation to a charity. I don't remember which charity, but specifically is running that in the stead of Big House, and states that if Nintendo shuts them down, basically what they're saying is that we don't care if the money goes to a good cause. We just don't want the competitive scene in any regard, and they're exclusively doing it as a thing to stop the competitive gaming. Nintendo has in no way, shape, or form reached out to stop the event as of today, which is November 24th. But people are actively watching to see what happens with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, look, somebody said legal right doesn't necessarily equate moral or ethical right. Sure, but it's their IP, right? It's their ball. They can take it home with them if they so choose. Big companies don't give a f*** about morals. I mean, like, expletive about morals.
The problem is there's no precedent in any way, shape, or form for competitive gaming at all, legal precedent or otherwise. Yeah. And that's what makes it so difficult for these tournament organizers to basically come back and say, hey, you're actively stopping us from doing our job, because their job comes off of the reels of something that someone actually has as legal property. And it's not like people have actively, like, not made this stuff their legal property. It is Nintendo's legal property, just like you said, Elon, just like Steve said. I would like to liken it to Dave Chappelle signing away the rights to the Chappelle Show. He actually contacted Netflix when Netflix was streaming it. It was like, I don't like y'all streaming it. Netflix took it down as a courtesy, not because they were required to, but as a courtesy. And now Dave Chappelle is doing more work with Netflix as a beneficiary. What people think is going to happen is that Dave Chappelle may sue for the rights to his show from Comedy Central, stating that, you know, the way that you claimed my legal property was illegal. So it would be interesting to see if all the Smash organizers did something similar to that by stating, by creating a competitive circuit. Or honestly, what would be really interesting to me is if every single Smash competitive rallied around another platform gamer game. That would be interesting to me. If everyone propped up another game that they knew that they could do exactly the same as Super Smash Brothers and just refused to support Super Smash Brothers IP in any capacity. Obviously, that's never going to happen. It'd be interesting, never going to happen. That's one of the only ways, though.
So many players, especially in Smash, aren't just fans of Smash, they're fans of Nintendo. And to ask them to walk away from something that's been, you know, on top of, you know, their love for the series, how important the game has been to a lot of people and how important the community has been to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I don't see them walking away from that. So I just don't think it's going to happen to any sort of degree. And, you know, they're just kind of stuck with it right now, outside of potentially raising enough of a stink to get some social media traction. I just don't see what else they can do.
Yeah, and here's the other thing too. We're talking about a community, specifically the Melee community, who likes Melee so much that they're not willing to move forward with Nintendo or with the new games, right? They want to stick to the game that they know and they love, and they've been playing that same game for, what, 16, 17, 20 years now? Or however long Melee's been out?
I want to point out that although their statement did only mention Melee, they mentioned specifically they didn't just shut down Melee at that event. They shut down Ultimate as well. Like, they shut down the complete event, not just Ultimate. They shut it down completely. That's the real problem, I believe, that all of the organizers have with this, is not just that they are exclusively coming for Melee, like they exclusively came for PM. They are coming for every single game that they are no longer interested in selling. I believe that's the problem with the majority of the organizers. And there's no code of conduct as to how Nintendo will continue to enforce that in the future with Ultimate either. That's what people are concerned about. So it's not just that they're shutting down Melee, it's that they're shutting down any event that has Melee because of the way that they're utilizing online.
Do you think that they did that? And Indy here at the chat has the same train of thought that I do. Do you think that they did that, as in shut down everything Big House was doing, because, like we saw in the quotes earlier, that Big House wasn't willing to stop until they were served a cease and desist with Slippy?
No.
Would they have done it anyway, do you think?
I believe so. I'm not going to pretend to have in any way, shape, or form worked with Nintendo in the past or know any Nintendo employees or spoken with Nintendo, but from my experience with how Nintendo has treated both the Melee community and the Smash community in general, my belief is that they would have done it regardless if they had to, even if the cease and desist, because they could have specifically worded it stating that this game is not allowed there anymore. Mm-hmm. They could have done that. They could have very easily done that, and they chose not to, specifically because they're like, we're going to make an example of you. That type of vindictiveness is what I have come to expect from Nintendo when it comes to their competitive side, and that is, it's a face, honestly, and it's very frustrating to see it come out almost every 7 years on the day. A lot of people in chat have likened Nintendo to Disney. I want to state that Nintendo is in no way, shape, or form as bad as Disney, because people forget that Disney has lobbied actively for government changes exclusively to allow them as a business to function. Mm-hmm. Nintendo has not done that in any country, to my knowledge, but it's very concerning to see the lengths that Nintendo will go to in order to stop something that they deem harmful to their monetary income. Mm-hmm. Especially when it hurts their consumers directly. That's very frustrating to me. But hey, yeah. I'm lucky that, you know, Nintendo doesn't pay any of my f***ing bills. So.
Word. Same. Mother expletive bills.
Language!
Yeah, you're right. Bleep me out, Twitch.
And
I'm gonna have to get a bleep sound for the sound or the audio.
I have one that I just don't have it hooked up right now. I apologize. But you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of when...
What's next?
This reminds me of when... Bandai Namco forbade Dragon Ball Fighters from playing at, I think it was DreamHack.
Yep.
And eventually that all got ironed out, but I think that might have just been like a rights thing where they didn't have it completely set with Toei or whoever owns Dragon Ball.
I think it was a lot of preemptive tournament setups is what it was, because DreamHack was one of the very first tournaments announcing a DBFZ tournament. So, like, there was a lot of concern in general about how that game was going to function on an official circuit. It's nice to see that Bandai obviously ironed it out and everything like that. But it's always concerning when you see it in general esports, because there's so many people that are invested in esports. There's so many entities that are invested in it in general. And there are a lot of very passionate people here. Case in point, all of us. I don't think esports pays in any of our bills exclusively, but I think we all profit in some way, shape, or form from the existence of competitive gaming. Not to say that we wouldn't be here if we weren't in any way, shape, or form getting something back from it, but I think every single person both watching this stream, listening to this podcast, and currently on this podcast have benefited from the existence of competitive gaming. So it's disappointing, I think, to all of us at large when we see companies take this stance, because that could be us. That could be anybody, honestly. That could be anybody that just enjoys gaming to the level that we enjoy it, which is to say, imagine if the NFL one day just decided that anyone who has ever recorded a football game now has to have it deleted. Ever.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah. And here's the
problem
too,
is I've been asking for express written consent for years. They've only given me implied oral consent. And I just keep asking, and they don't give it to me.
God. Well, consent's very important, Steve.
It is.
The other thing, too, is...
Moving on!
To your point, Sharpie, to your point, Sharpie, as far as like how frustrating it is, to a degree, and I've seen Ultra David tweet out about this a lot, and every time he does, I'm reminded of this fact. Content creation as a whole involving video games is so nebulous when it comes to this stuff. Like, we're not, like, even the content that we make, if it surrounds a specific game, even if their game is on there for, like, a little bit of time, if it's not under fair use, we're all expletive, sorry. So, yeah, to your point about how it's always disheartening to see a company do something like that to even a competitive community, it's like, then you have to look at, like, content creation as a whole, because that whole thing is so nebulous, and any company at any time could be like, hey, I don't want this on YouTube. This expletive on YouTube.
That's almost exactly why a lot of people are concerned, is because this is just the first step in that type of future. Whenever someone sees that future, it threatens the industry as a whole. And I think that level of uncertainty is one of the reasons why you saw a lot of content creators, specifically myself. That's one of the reasons why I stopped with Smash, why I actually stopped. Because I was like, if I started playing Skullgirls right about the time that I started getting very frustrated with the fact PM hadn't come out yet, and then I saw that PM was probably never going to come out, it was very, very frustrating to me. And I think everyone's seen my content and everyone really enjoys my content. I'm not going to pretend like I couldn't get numbers if I exclusively made Super Smash Brothers content, because I know I could. But the concern is that there's no real future for me there, exclusively because Nintendo only props up people that look and sound a certain way, and they also may shut that down at any point in time whenever it so pleases them. There's no level of certainty. I'd much rather work with companies like Future Club Dev, or even groups like Main Six or Hidden Variable on a game that may be a little bit more, you know, rated T for teen or rated M. But I know for certain that when I work on content, it's not going to disappear into the ether. That peace of mind is very, very nice, and it's very unfortunate to see so many other talented creators have to worry about that.
Agreed. Any final thoughts on this stuff before we move on?
Free Melee. Free Melee. Actively free Melee. Nintendo of America, do the right thing here. Don't do the thing that makes you money. Do the right thing. People will appreciate you. We appreciate gaming developers that are ethical. Be ethical. Do the right thing.
Also, NFL, give me that express written consent, please.
All right, two quick topics before we sign off for the night. First, I just wanted to cover the Bud Light BL6 console, because if you guys have not seen it, it is a computer that is also
Elon. I don't see it, you won't do it.
Yeah, I don't want to do it even when you say it. The BL6 is a computer made by Bud Light. And it is a computer that has a projector, has a beer koozie, and runs games like Tekken 7, Soul Calibur 6, some freeze tag game, Fortnite, and other things. And this this console was also, by the way, thank you, Die by Sword, for gifting a sub to Free Melee. Thank you, Die by Sword. this console, it's a console, it's not a computer. This console was released and was up for sale through auction via the Bud Light website. And last I checked, it was selling, the bidding was at $800,000. But all that aside, I did get to see one of my favorite streamers here on Twitch, Tim the Tatman, who doesn't do fighting game stuff. He's mostly like a Call of Duty streamer. Played some Tekken for a little bit, and it was super funny to see somebody who doesn't normally play Tekken and play on this crazy device that is a beer koozie and projects the game on the wall. My favorite part of that stream was when he said, "I'm getting stun locked," while he was fighting Panda. It was pretty fun. And when he said Yoshimitsu was easy to play. So that was the kind of stream that he had, but it was super fun to watch somebody experiencing it, and it was super cool to see that Bud Light put two fighting games in their console, and it was Tekken 7 and Soul Calibur 6. So big ups to Bud Light there.
They also have a deal with like Bandai earlier this year, specifically about sponsoring a tournament for that?
Bud Light online. They're doing the Bud Light online tournaments for Tekken.
And they're usually on Tuesdays, right about now. All right.
It is sold out. The console is sold out, unfortunately.
Well, if anybody had $800,000 and wanted to buy that console, why don't you invest in Best of Five? Your weekly FGC news podcast.
Twitch.tv/bestofvshow. We also have a PayPal, paypal.me/bestofv.
Before we go, one last thing, and then we're going to sign off here. But Street Fighter 6 emails leaked due to the Ragnar Locke attack over at Capcom, and they were posted up on Twitter. However, mysteriously, Twitter has removed those images due to copyright holders. Cease and desist. So, no more pictures of emails about Street Fighter 6. However, the emails did reveal things like Street Fighter 6 coming to Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series X/S/L or whatever. The emails also showed they were also talking about the progression of the 3D models in the email, and there was a lot of like weird nebulous discussion in there that I didn't really get. Steve, what else happened in there?
Well, we don't have any confirmation that these are legitimately within. But yes, these were reportedly from the ransomware attack that hit Capcom a couple weeks ago. I've been hearing from sources that the timeline that was listed in the email is out of date. So that whatever they were working on, we can expect it around 2022 or so. Granted, it shouldn't come as a huge shock that a company that has made 5 Street Fighters is making a 6th one. Mm-hmm. It's not fully guaranteed, but, you know, especially with COVID. But I don't think this is necessarily jaw-dropping, personally.
Nope. But it is interesting to see that out of that attack, they're like, this is another one of those circumstances that they're having to deal with on top of all the crazy shit that we discussed last week. So, very unfortunate for Capcom. Sorry.
Well, if they had LifeLock, they'd be covered.
Didn't the dude from LifeLock put his social security literally, on the side of a truck?
Literally get his account in every way, shape, or form completely expletived? Yes. Yes, yep. He did.
Expletived. Yeah, he put his social security on the side of a truck, and then his identity got stolen.
What are they going to do? Steal my identity? Says man who had his identity stolen. In any case, everybody, as always, it's been a pleasure being here with you. I am the Purple Sharpie, and I am here with the ever-talented, ever-fantastic Steve Urich, otherwise known as Ace King Off Suite. Of course, we have Elon here controlling the fantastic mix, and y'all can follow him on twitter.com/Elon121. I am at the Purple Sharpie on Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, and of course TikTok. Thank you so much for watching Best of Five. Does anyone have any final thoughts?
I do.
I'm talented.
Steve Urich.
That's going to be all the time we have here for today, y'all.
Steve Urich, Steve Off Suite. Hold on just a second.
Off Suite? I can't get the crash thing. And I was mispronouncing it on purpose. I wanted Steve to leave with a joke.
I was more concerned about you calling me talented.
Both were my biggest issue with that. Yes, everybody. Anyway, as always,
Canada, have a wonderful Thanksgiving if you celebrate, and if you don't, have a wonderful Thanksgiving anyway. Because I
and
love
just remember,
you. Good night, Canada.
Your favorite podcaster always has a sign-off phase.
Now?
Yes, now.